you for your faithfulness to be here to support the meeting. Appreciate that. And I trust that the Lord will just encourage you and help us tonight. I want to go over a few things, but while I before I get started, you can go ahead and turn in your Bibles to the book of Luke. I'll tell you a chapter here in a minute. Some of you may try to find the chapter. If I tell you the chapter, you're going to start looking for key verses. Some of you have been asking. But the book of Luke is where we'll be, and I'll tell you the chapter here in just a few minutes. In 2017, our theme was Be Renewed. I believe God did a renewing work that year. I did. I do believe He did that in our church. And I remember one of the weeks that stood out to me during that year was our family revival with Pastor Frank Camp. And how God just truly, just really worked internally in our hearts and strengthened our families and just gave us some things to work with. And there were other areas of that year, of course, that we could go through, but we are limited on time. But 2017 was a renewing year. To God be the glory. And to praise His name. And then in 2018, of course, the year we just came out of was Be Faithful. And I believe the Lord truly blessed in that year too and taught us a lot about just being trusted. Being trusted with what God has given us. He's given us so much. He's given us His Word. He's given us salvation. He's given us grace. We went through the book of Titus and learned much about how grace should change us and make us to what He wants to be. And another week that stood out to me during that year was the week with the coffee team. And we went over a little bit about that last week, but just how God really challenged us. On the subject of being faithful, being trusted with the message of the gospel in our own lives as roles, as family members. And I thank God for that. Each year, we have seen, at least I have seen, and I've heard other testimonies, have seen how God has used the theme in our lives and how He just brings these things together. But one of the things that stands out to me about the theme each year, and there's nothing in the Bible that says you have to pick out a theme each January in order to be a New Testament church. We all know that. But that does not remove the fact of how helpful and practical it truly can be for the local church. I saw it in, myself and saw the advantages of it and the benefits of it. And this is one that stood out to me. And basically you can say won me. It was this. I saw how the theme unites the local church. It unites the local body, and not only does it unite us, but it encourages us. It helps us to meditate on a truth or a doctrine, and helps us to stay focused as a body of believers, and how thankful I am for that. And, you know, I'm truly convinced, as I mentioned this morning, I'm convinced that God wants to take us beyond our human ability. Do you believe that, church? He wants to take us beyond our human abilities, and He wants to thrust us forward into a work much, much bigger than ourselves. That's a pretty awesome thought. But that indeed is God's will. You know, I believe in revival. I believe it's biblical. I believe that we need it. I believe in personal revival. That's each of us daily as we walk in the Spirit and yield to the Spirit, experiencing revival in that way. I believe in corporate revival. I believe that revival can come into a local church just like this or like other instances around the world. At one point, it was not necessarily in a church like this one, but it was a group of businessmen in New York that started meeting together at their lunch hour and started meeting for prayer. And by the way, let that be a reminder to some of you laymen out there that work out in the secular field. God may use you to start a Bible study or prayer meeting right where you work. That'd be pretty awesome. And see revival break out. But revival just is not restricted just inside of a building like this one. Aren't you glad for that? It might be out in the hayfield somewhere. As we have heard, and you may have heard the story, if you hadn't Googled it sometime, the Haystack Revival. was a group of young men that met for prayer, and God met with them, and as there was a great missionary movement that sparked from that. It's amazing. Sometimes we put God in a box, don't we? We shouldn't do that. The Lord wants to work in mighty ways. I do believe in revival. I believe in pockets of revival. I believe in sparks of revival. You know, I believe our church, Crooked Creek Baptist Church, and this community, South Jackson and beyond, I believe our community is in great need of revival. And I believe that the Lord wants us to be hungry for it. Now, I do not believe it's some mystical thing that's unattainable and we have to fit some secret formula. I do not believe that. I believe that is a lie from the devil. I believe it is quite simple. It is God's people getting serious about sin and serious about living the Spirit-filled life. God wants us to understand that it is simple. And I'm glad for that. But you know, this revival we're talking about that I would desire, and I'm sure if I would interview each of you, that you would say, yes, sure, I'd like to see a movement of God in my life. Boy, the things I'm battling with and the things I struggle with daily, the things I've experienced, or you may say the things that are going on in my home or the things that are going on in my school, my community. Boy, I would love to see a movement of God where people just become humbled by God's Spirit and are filled with love and compassion and fear of God Almighty, a reverential fear. I think all of us would love to see that. Well, can I say this? I believe we can. And can I say this without sounding presumptuous? I do believe we will. I believe that. As I preached this morning, vision is so important in this realm. And how God decides to give us that desire and give us the desires of our heart, that's up to Him. But He gives us total liberty to long for it. He gives us total liberty to pray for it and to ask for it and to go after it, to go after Him. Oh, in the pursuit of God. If you've never read that book, A.W. Tozer, God wants us to be in pursuit. I tell you, the Lord is there waiting. Many times we've just gotten away from Him. But how is this revival to take place? Well, let me have you turn to Luke chapter 24. How can this happen? It will happen just like it always happened. And is happening, in fact, as we know all around the world. This revival will be by God's Spirit having full possession of the church's heart. Your heart. My heart. That's our desire. That's our will. That's our intellect. That's our being. Who we are. God Almighty having full possession of our lives. That is what God's Spirit desires, and that's what I believe He can have if we will just simply as a church say, yes, Lord, we welcome the work of Your Spirit. We don't want to resist it. We don't want to grieve You. We want You to have Your way. God has led our church this year to a theme that focuses on power. And not just any power, but Holy Spirit power. Look with me in chapter 24, verse 45. Let me read this passage and then we'll reveal the theme to you. In verse 45, this is Jesus' last moment here on earth as He is giving the command to the disciples as they will go forward in the work that He has trained them in and that He has empowered them in and will empower them. But look there in verse 45. The Word of God says, "Then opened He their understanding that they might understand the Scriptures, and said unto them, Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. And that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in His name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. and ye are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. And he led them out as far as to Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. Amen. Do you see Jesus is leaving a message with the disciples here? That I'm leaving, but he says I'm going to leave you with the promise. What was that promise? It was the promise of the Comforter, the Holy Spirit. He was going to leave the Comforter to empower these group of believers, which now we know is the church, just like us here, to do the work of God in a dark, sin-infested world. Oh yes, he's called us to a great task, hasn't he? This promise that we see there in verse number 49 is the promise of the Spirit. And he says there, notice that phrase there at the second part of verse 49. He says, you tarry until ye be endued with power from on high. My brothers and sisters, the theme of 2019 at Crooked Creek Baptist Church is power from on high. The power of the Holy Spirit is how we will accomplish the will of God. How are we going to grow? How are we going to be more fruit bearing? How are we going to be more fruitful and effective for the gospel's sake in this community? I'll tell you how. It'll be as a result of us being controlled and empowered by the sweet Spirit of the living God. Now, I believe, it is my opinion, I could be wrong on this, but I believe that one of the most neglected parts of the triune God is the Holy Spirit of God. I believe many times he's pushed to the side, and I don't know that it's done necessarily on purpose, but I do believe he's greatly neglected, and he should not be. He is not to be worshipped. He is not necessarily to be exalted, because we know in the Word his ministry is to exalt Christ. But it does not mean that we can't learn more about him and his work in us and the local church. And by God's grace, church, that's what we're going to do in the coming year. We're going to learn more about God's Spirit, the Holy Spirit. We're going to learn more about what he is doing in our lives and how we can yield more to him and to see him work greatly. I like what C.H. Spurgeon said. He said, without the Spirit of God, we can do nothing. We are as ships without the wind, branches without sap, and like coals without fire. We are useless. And I don't know about you tonight, friends, but I do want God's Spirit to have full control of us. I want him not to be grieved or saddened about anything in this church, about anything in my life and my heart. I want there to be liberty here. As we worship together, as we go out and work and live outside of these four walls, I want to see the power of God in your life. And I hope you want to see the power of God in my life. And then, of course, we know that God wants to see this power. That word endued there is an interesting word. Look there in your Bible. Endued with power. What does that word mean? Well, it means to be clothed. It means to be covered, if you will. It's a pretty awesome word there. As we understand the meaning of the Holy Spirit, he's saying you're going to be clothed with God's Spirit for his work. I have a glove here in my hand. Now, it's sort of a dirty glove. It came from Brad Stringer's. So I don't know. Maybe he's been working, amen. But no, maybe it's your dad's. Is your dad's maybe? Okay, it's yours. All right, well, you've been doing some work. No holes yet, so keep going. You keep working. But this glove I have in my hand, This glove cannot do anything by itself. Useless. All right? But if I allow this glove to endue my hand, what you will see here, but when my hand is in it, the glove can do many things. True, it is not the glove, but my hand in the glove that acts. The Christian is a glove. It is the Holy Spirit inside the glove that does the work. And what God wants His people to do is to be covered and indwelt and empowered by the Holy Spirit and just be a glove. And let Him do what He desires to do every day. He does the work. We must make room for the Holy Spirit to move in so that it will be filled. Our lives will be filled with God's Spirit. And He will be able to accomplish what He desires to do. Church, do we want to be gloves for the Holy Spirit? I believe we do. I believe you do. And by God's grace, we will be. Let me read this quote to you. It says here, Ian Bounds said this, "To look back upon the progress of the divine kingdom upon earth, it is to review revival periods, which have come like refreshing showers upon dry and thirsty ground, making the desert to blossom as the rose, and bringing new eras of spiritual life and activity just when the church had fallen under the influence of the apathy of the times." Now, that's the work of the Holy Spirit. And I don't know about you, but I see areas in my life that need revived. I see areas of my life where I know the Holy Spirit does not have the control He desires to have. But by God's grace, we simply just determine as a church and as individuals that we are going to make a choice, that we are going to give more focus on yielding and opening up ourselves to God to get in us and control us fully. Now, lest I be mistaken, you can't have the Holy Spirit unless you've first been saved. So I believe, it breaks my heart, but I believe I see people out there, not necessarily in this church, but I see people out there that name the name of Christ, and they seem to never, ever, ever, ever understand what it means to live the Christian life. There's no desire there, and there's no conviction, and they wonder why it's hard and pointless. And they question it. It may be that the Spirit of God is not there. Because can I tell you, if you have, just imagine, the living God, the Creator, if He lives in you, you're going to know it. That makes sense to me. If God's in you, living in you, He's going to let you know He's there. He sure will. He loves us. And He'll let us know. He sure will. Whereby we can cry, Abba, Father, through the power of His Spirit. Charles Finney made it sound like this. He said it like this way simply. He said a revival is nothing else than a new beginning of obedience to God. Don't we come to those choices and those points in our lives daily? I believe we do. I believe that we come to those points of obedience. And tonight, together, as before we dive into the calendar and before we dive into some of those things that we'll be looking at in the coming year, why don't we just make a decision in our hearts before the Lord that we're going to be unified around this truth of being filled with God's Spirit, being empowered by God's Spirit. That we're going to make a choice collectively and individually. Families, homes, singles, whoever, this is who we're going to focus upon. This is what we're going to do in our direction of this year. And of course, it's nothing new. We know that. This is Bible. This is God's will. He wants us to see His mighty, mighty power. I just want us to bow for a moment in prayer before we continue on. And I just want to give a moment for us to reflect upon this truth of being empowered by God's Spirit. And let's respond to God Almighty in our hearts. Father, we have looked at the passage of the Word of God, and Lord, I know we'll be exploring and re-exploring and reviewing many of the great truths of the Word of God in the coming year. But Lord, we confess to you tonight that it will not be by our power or by, Lord, our might, but it will be by your Spirit that we grow. That we grow to understand our Savior more. That we grow to understand the victorious Christian life. That we grow to understand the function and power of the local church in this community. Lord, that's where we look to. We look to you. Thank you for what you'll do in the continuation of tonight's service. And we just commit these things to you. In Jesus' name, amen. And we're going to go through the calendar now. Again, each year we are seeking to put out a calendar that sort of just brings you up to date on the events that will be taking place, maybe a special ministry, whatever the case may be. And so that's what we want to do now. We want to go through some of those things. Let me get my, here we go. Will I have control of this, Brother Mike? All right. If this control will yield to me. Okay, well, let's go through the year together. And again, you'll be getting a calendar, each of you, with these dates. And the calendar will have some other things. We didn't put everything up tonight because of time and because things we already know that are going to be taking place, whether it be the Oaks Ministry or the Potter's House. Those things we're not necessarily going to show you all those dates tonight. But the highlights we will indeed. Some things we're looking forward to, missions trip, where we'll be going this year. So let's begin with January. Where do I need to point for this thing to work? We do have one event, and I know y'all may not believe me, but let me go ahead and say this. Y'all be like, Pastor, we'll believe it when we see it. I know. But I have tried to lighten the calendar a little bit this year. I've tried, okay? It was very, very difficult for me at times, but I'm trying, give that balance of just, you know, preserving our church in the sense of, keeping people from getting burnout and that includes myself and just trying to be balanced. But we do have some busy seasons, but I tried to strategically plan it to where it wouldn't be all every month, every week of the whole year. And so in January, we do have a men's prayer breakfast at 8 a.m. And I want to encourage you, all you men, to do your best, and young men. We want to make it a point to be together and pray. And as we prepare for the coming year, some things I'd like to share with you, some ideas that God's put on my heart. And so I just want to encourage you to be there for that. That's coming up here. What date is that? Do we have the date on that? Wait a minute. See, I came prepared. I got my calendar up here. Sorry about that. It is on the 19th, and it will be at 8 a.m. So please do your best to do that, and we're going to try to do that from time to time. But that will be on January the 19th. In February, am I controlling it now, Mike? I just hit the button. I'm not sure if I'm the one or not. Okay. February 17th, the Sweetheart Banquet. That is, again, something we're going to look forward to. We are going to have it set up this year. We'll have that on that Saturday night, where we'll have our Sweetheart Banquet here at the church. And then that week, Sunday through Wednesday, we're going to have a family conference. And I am thrilled to announce this. This is going to be somewhat similar to when Pastor Camp was here, but this year it will be Mike Edwards. He's a retired pastor, just retired about a year ago. He pastored and he planted and pastored the Heritage Baptist Church in Woodbridge, Virginia. I think he pastored there for nearly 30 years. And I want to tell you, church, he is a phenomenal speaker for the Lord. I believe he's a true servant of the Lord. He's humble and he loves the Word of God. And he is just a great communicator of the Word of God. He will help our families. So please, families, If you got something that you've already planned for that week, go ahead and cancel it, okay? But honestly, please keep that week open. If all possible, it will be a tremendous help to your marriage, to your parenting, young people. It will be a great opportunity for you to be encouraged. And because in your role as a son or daughter, brother, sister, we all need help in those areas. We all need strengthening. And so I look at that week to be a week of revival. I truly do. As Brother Mike Edwards will come and encourage us in the matter of the home and a family revival. We're going to really promote that in our community and try to reach out and be an encouragement. So that will be February. And then in March, as we march forward there in the year, we have a potential ski trip to Beach Mountain, North Carolina. Okay, that is not a typo. It is spelled, am I correct, Susan? That's right, B-E-E-C-H. And it's quite frankly, it's a great ski resort. But I just thought that would be kind of cool. I got a brother Jake Stringer forwarded me something. They got a great deal. We don't know all the if we'll be able to do it yet. We have to have at least 15 people sign up, and then we'll have to select a date. So I say potential because it's not a sure thing. But I personally do love snow skiing. So does my wife Joanna. And so any of you that would say, I don't like, skiing, but I like snow tubing. Well, you would be welcome to come as well. All right. And if you say, no, I don't want to go skiing. I'm going to stay right here where I'm at. Well, great. We need babysitters that week and we will be leaving our kids with you. Just kidding. All right. But honestly, that's a potential, trip. We're looking into details. I will have a sign up sheet. If we can't get at least 15 that want to go, we just won't take it. It's no problem. But I thought it was a neat idea. They have accommodations, set up, to where they're, you know, depending on families or whatnot, but they do have accommodations set up where you can do bunk beds and the girls and guys in separate places. Then they have a community room. They have a community kitchen and it's the Wolf Lodge right there beside the resort. And so it'd be a pretty cool thing if we are able to do it. If not, we'll maybe try to shoot for next year. So moving forward, in April, it'll be here before we know it. I'm looking forward to having our second annual sunrise service. We had so much great feedback, from that day, especially from you early birds. I mean, I thought that was great. And those of you that are night owls were complaining the whole time, but I'm not going to say, I'm just kidding. You were not. You had great attitudes, after you repented that week. Okay. But honestly, we had a good time. Had some good many visitors from the community, a wonderful spirit. We'll probably have a breakfast kind of like we did last time. Won't have an evening service type thing, but we'll just meet together for that special time on April 21st. And we will make sure that the chairs are dry this year, okay? And we'll look towards that. April 28th will be our Missions Booster Sunday. You say, Pastor, what's that? Well, those of you that were here last year know exactly what it is. Basically, it's where we are just reminded of our faith promise commitments. We bring a couple more missionaries in that I hope we'll be able to take on. And we do have the faith promise commitment to take more missionaries on. So we have two lined up that will be coming, one missionary to South Africa, and so I'm looking forward to them coming, and then also one that is up in Canada that will be here with us. And so that'll be a blessed time to be reminded and to be challenged in the area of missions. And then moving forward to May, getting into the spring, close to summer, we're going to have our annual men's camp out. And looking forward, that's always a real time of encouragement. And we don't know exactly where we're going to go this year. Possibly Elijah Clark State Park, or we may go back up toward the mountains. But there's a couple options that are there. But it is always an edifying time that we can just have an excuse to get together and eat lots of bacon. That's always a good idea. and catch no fish. Now, we did catch a few this past time. The year before, we caught more. We have some great anglers in this church. Brother Mike Jamansky surprised me. He smoked us all in catching the trout. Well, he wasn't smoking, but he really did well with fishing. He did well with fishing. I just want to see y'all smile. Some of you look like you might fall asleep, but I'm glad that Mike can catch those trout. He gave us a good lesson. And Hunter Reynolds and others, some of you others were catching fish, and some of you are like me, and we didn't catch anything that time. But anyway, it was that's something we'll look forward to. May 10th, the big night of homeschool graduation. I think we have at least four from our church that will be graduating that night. I think it's on a Friday, if I'm not mistaken. Is that confirm me? I'll just open my calendar here if y'all won't tell me, okay? So March, April, it is. All right, so that'll be something we'll all look forward to. And then graduation recognition will be on the 19th. Those of you that are graduating in other areas as well, we want to honor all those. And that'll be on May 19th. And then on in the month of June, getting into a busy season of ministry because of camps and whatnot. But we do have a little bit something different this year. For our church-wide picnic, we'll actually be going over to Sandy Creek. I thought it was just a good opportunity for us. They have the volleyball court over there. We got the big amphitheater type shelter over there overseeing the lake. They got picnic tables underneath the shelter, and it's just a really neat opportunity for us to go over there as a church and have a church-wide picnic. So that'll be on June 1st. And I hope you'll mark that as a time to go out and have a wonderful time together. We'll probably have some other events during that day as well. Then the Teen Extreme Camp. The teens will be going down to Pensacola June 10th through the 14th. Johnny Pope will be preaching that week. If you've never heard Johnny Pope preach, you go on Sermon Audio or YouTube, and he's got some messages. They'll really encourage you. But he'll be preaching to the teens June 10th through the 14th. And then also that same week, we're going to do it the same way we did last year. We're going to the Anchorage Junior Camp, and we're going to see to go there once again. And the young people seem to have a good time. We got some that got tangled up skating, but other than that, we all had a great time. And that was, I won't mention any initials, but Lemuel, he got tangled up with Gregory. But they did good. They were resolved, man. They came back from the emergency room, and they were just ready to eat. All right. So we have the Anchorage Junior Camp. That's in June. And then Vacation Bible School. That will be different this year. It's a different date. The church typically did that the first week of June. Talking with Carrie and others, we decided that we would move that date. And because we noticed this last time, it may change this time too, but we noticed last time that a lot of churches in our area are all going for that first week of June. And so we said, well, we'll just be different here and just see how it goes. If it doesn't go well, we can always change it back in 2020. But for this year, we're going to go for the 23rd and 28th. And another difference about this one is we're going to be doing a different type of VBS. It's actually called Neighborhood Bible Time. Some of you are familiar with it. It is basically VBS on steroids, if I had to explain it in some way. It is really very, very evangelistic. And it is geared toward the junior age and also the teens. Basically, two evangelists, college age young men, come in that have been trained. They're training in Bible college, and then they train for a few weeks before going out on a circuit. They come into the local church, and there's one evangelist that will preach to the juniors, and there's another evangelist that will preach with the teens. They call him the teen evangelist. I traveled as a teen evangelist with Neighborhood Bible Time in 2006. Changed my life. It truly did. God used it mightily in my own life and heart, grew me in the Lord and helped me have an understanding of the local church and ministry in itself. And I loved it. I fell in love with it. So we're going to seek to do that. We'll be having some training. I'm actually going to have the director come here in the next couple months, and he's going to explain the ministry to us, the philosophy behind it. But it's pretty amazing. And I think as a church, you will be encouraged and impressed with how much it's Bible-centered and how much it seeks to point young people to the Lord Jesus. So going on past there to into July, we're getting into missions trip month. And this year, just praying, the Lord very clearly led us to go and to work with a missionary family that we are currently supporting. And they are in Staten Island, New York. And so this year's missions trip will be the 19th through the 27th, and it will be to help Liberty View Baptist Church conduct a VBS. And what's really neat, how God just orchestrated this, is that they will be doing neighborhood Bible time as well. So our teenagers, I hope that we'll have some teens that go, and our workers as well, we'll already had our neighborhood Bible time, and a month later we'll be able to go and help Brother Wilt and his wife do their neighborhood Bible time. It'll be the same program. And so that's what our teens would do, and our adults alike. We would go to serve. And David said he is super excited about our church coming. The details are coming together now. I believe it. This trip will probably be the most affordable trip of our last two going to New York, especially if we're able to take the shuttle bus, which that's something we're working through the details of that as a possibility. But if you're interested in that trip, we will have a sign-up sheet. And David said, I said, David, how many can we bring? He said, as many as you want. I said, now, David, I know David's, he's pretty zealous. And I said, now, David, seriously, how many can we bring? He said, as many as you want. He says, we have a setup here where we have a couple churches in our area in New York City that have like basements available for church groups to come in and to stay. And you'll be close by. And he said, it's a lot of fun and it's a blessing to go out there. And those of you that have been there, how many have been to New York City out of this group here? Okay, it looks like about half. If you've never been, it's an awesome experience because it is truly the melting pot of the world. And you can think about every nationality you can think of, it's there. And we'll be able to go and help pass out tracts, invitations, and then each night have the neighborhood Bible time at Liberty View Baptist Church. Again, that's where it's located, way up north, but thankfully that'll be July, and so it'll be nice and warm. And we'll be thankful for that. And not necessarily. Okay, well, we'll only take God's promises, right, Miss Beverly? Amen. Can't trust any weathermen anyway, can you? Only job you can have and be 50% wrong the whole time. I worded that wrong. 50% wrong all the time, right? Is that right? Does that make sense? 50% accurate, sorry, 50% accurate, okay, and they can get away with it as long as they want. That's the Wilt family. Does anybody remember the Wilt family being here with us? Now, surely more than you than that. Really, the Wilt family? Okay. Well, they're here with us. We've been supporting them. God's doing a great work. Got a storefront there. Look there at that canopy there. That building is a lot bigger inside than it looks from the outside. It goes in, and I think David said it sits around 75. And that's a newer building. The one they had only, I think, well, the capacity was like 25 people. But this one, they're growing. And so we want to go and be an encouragement to the Wilt family. And so that is the missions trip. It looks like I'm going backwards here, but I'm trying to go forwards. August. All right. Moving into August, we're going to have a youth-led service on the 18th. That's always been a blessing where our youth come and basically lead the whole service, the song leading, the prayers, the offering, and the preaching, and I'm looking forward to that. Hadn't that been a blessing, church? Each team that has spoken and that have sang, that have come and participated, it has been an encouragement to us. The 25th is homecoming. That is always a highlight of our church year with a lot of our friends around the community that will come and visit. And we have some good eating that day, of course. But that day will also kick off our summer revival. Like we did last year, I felt like that worked out very well. And so that'll be August 26th through the 29th. And this year, the Lord is sending the Fraser Evangelistic Team to be with us. They're very similar in ministry to the Coffee Evangelistic Team. They are very musical, very talented group of people. And from what I understand, Jeremy Fraser is a great preacher of the Word of God. He handles it very accurately and is a blessing to the local church. And so they will be here. And so we want to make plans to be here that week. That is another week that you want to mark on your calendar. I know it's somewhat around vacation time. I mean, I think school started by then. But let's please mark these special dates on our calendars to try. I know it's not always possible, but to try to plan your schedule around these special events in the local church. September, moving forward, I think is a decently slow month, to get caught up in on rest from the summer. And, there'll be a Sunday school teachers meeting. Shouldn't be that big of a deal. The reason we put it on the calendar is because we're going to try something each year. It worked well last year. We're going to have a meal, and, we'll bring in the new teachers and the teachers that are continuing in the coming year and meet together, talk about the year, talk about the different opportunities. And so that'll be on September 3rd, then Promotion Sunday. We made it a little later, because we found that a lot of people were out of town, for that Labor Day weekend. And so, that is something that we move that. So that'll be in September. Not a whole lot. October, the season, the ministry season picks up again. That will be Missions Conference, October 6th through the 9th. And, there is a missionary church planner from the state of Maine that will be coming to be our speaker. His name is Todd Bell, and I heard him speak at a church not far from here, and I just was so encouraged. His fire for the Lord, and he has planted several churches up in the state of Maine and is continuing to see the churches grow, and I just saw how God used him to be a blessing. So he's going to come, Lord willing, that week, and we're going to invite missionaries as well. We'll have our Faith Promise Sunday, where we will commit once again. Hopefully we will increase our support for the next year as God blesses, and we're thankful for that. But that will be on the 13th. Then the 26th is the Harvest Festival. That is an off day for Georgia. We try to be careful about that so we can get people here, the workers at least. On the 26th of October, we're going to seek to do that again. Our church is tried to do that each year, and the community seems to really appreciate it. I've heard several comments from people in the community how much they enjoyed our festival, and it gives us a good opportunity to actually host a lunch the next day to invite them to come to our church if they're not already a part of a church. And so we are thankful for the fruit of that day as well, the Harvest Festival. November, the Wilds Teen Retreat, first weekend there of November, and then the Praise Dinner on the 24th. That's always a joyous time. Midweek service will be on that Tuesday before Thanksgiving, and then our fourth annual Turkey Bowl. And I never did give a report on the third annual Turkey Bowl, did I? I don't think I ever did. Did I ever give a report on that? I did. Did I tell everybody the score? Okay, well, I won't tell you then, all right? Nobody's responding. No, it was a close game. It really was our third annual. We had it got postponed, it did, and because of weather, but we were able to play and get the lights, and I think the red team, was it the red team that won? Is the blue team, right? The blue team won 14-7. Okay, but we're not bitter about that, are we, Hunter? Okay, all right. It was good. Fourth annual Turkey Bowl. You men start, go ahead and doing your exercises now, and you'll be ready. All right. December, rolling into the end of the year. It'll be here before we know it. Just blink, and we will be there. I had a college professor that said that often, and he was so right. We'd come in the first day of school. He said, all right, class, blink, and we'll be at the end. And he would always say that, and it did feel like a blink, and it will be here, too. December the 15th, we're going to have a Christmas program. And that is going to be neat. We got some special things in order for that. Might be a little unique, but it will indeed be a blessing. And then the 31st, we will do a watch night service. We didn't do one this past year, but we will do one coming up because the way it landed on the calendar. I'm looking at it right here. And you say, well, Pastor, why didn't you just give us the calendar first? It's because you guys would look at your calendars and not listen to a word I said, okay? But on December 31st will be on a Tuesday. So what, instead of having a service on Wednesday, January 1st, 2020, we're going to have a watch night service. We'll come in and have fireworks, have a bonfire, weather permitting, have games and finger foods, all that fun stuff like we did, last year, 2017, 2018. And that was such a fun time. And I thank the Lord for that. So that is December, and I believe that is it for the calendar. Now, each of you will be getting one of those, and I do want to point out, as you'll notice, this is always a really neat thing, and Noelle said the church responded greatly this year. She had a ton of pictures come in, and she said they were all so good, and so it was hard for her to get them all in. But so if your picture didn't get in, we will try to get it in the years to come. But you'll notice each one will have a picture from one of our church members. This first one, Brother Mike took in Montana, but the name will be down here and the place of the picture. And so I hope you'll use these. This is the one from Brother Mark Reynolds there, Grand Tetons. They're just gorgeous pictures. They really are. Really impressed with those. And I hope the calendar will be an encouragement. In the back, you'll notice that they have the highlight of events, days that are back there. And, of course, a calendar and one shot right there. So that is indeed our calendar. And I hope that it will be a blessing. I hope you'll hang it up, mark it, and follow it as we will do it. Now, I will say this, just like I say every year. It is subject to change. That's just the nature of life. Things come up, and honestly, we are not governed by our calendar. We are governed by the Holy Spirit of God. And if God wants us to counsel something, or He wants us to add something, change something, we will. We just follow what the Lord wants us to do. We try to do things in order, but at the same time, He is in charge. And He can change our plans anytime He wants to. We are open to that, of course. And so that is our calendar. And so through the year, I usually try to pick a book to preach. I try to pick a book, and this year you've probably already figured out it probably makes the most sense. But this year with our theme, the Lord has laid on my heart to preach through the book of Acts. I do believe that that will go with our theme the closest, and we will just be able to see together what the Spirit of God does truly in the local church. His ministry, He empowers us to do what He's called us to do. And we will begin that this month, that study. Probably most likely we'll be in it on Sundays. And we'll probably do some other studies on Wednesday night. Maybe some studies of just the doctrine of the Holy Spirit. But I do want to do an expositional study through the book of Acts. And I am greatly looking forward to how God will use that in this church to remind us of what the norm is supposed to look like. And you say the norm? What do you mean by that, Pastor? I mean the norm when it comes to unity, the norm when it comes to courage, the norm when it comes to prayer, the norm when it comes to preaching, the norm when it comes to boldness, the norm when it comes to fellowship, the norm when it comes to all of these things in the local church, compassion, love for Jesus, and it is all right there and the local church. So we're looking forward to that study through the book of Acts. Now, let's move forward tonight, and just I want to review the vision for our church. It's always good to keep our vision before us. What is our vision? Our vision as a church is to be a local church that is seeing people saved. We know the Lord does the saving, but we want to look for that. Is to see people saved, baptized, and growing in their obedience to the Savior, in their compassion for the lost, and in their love for the brethren. That's where we always want to be in our vision, for each other and for people that God will lead us to. The mission that basically helps us go towards the vision is this: to reach, teach, and care for our community with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Reach, teach, and care. That is, I believe, what will help us keep on track with our mission. And so, what does that allow us to do with our vision? What does that allow us to do with our mission? Well, I'm going to talk about some outreach opportunities. Now, this is where you and I get involved. Now, you may say, well, Pastor, I don't really want to be involved in any outreach, but can I ask you, before you make that statement, you need to look at the possibilities that are there. Because I believe that each outreach possibility that we have, there's not a person in this room that could not fulfill it in some aspect. And so, let me go through these. You'll have a pamphlet in your gift bag that will talk about these in detail. We first have the Potter's House. We go just a couple miles down the road here in Jefferson. I think that direction, right? Am I right that way? We go over to the Potter's House. It's a rehabilitation program for men discovering, trying to get victory in the Lord Jesus. We're seeing people saved every meeting. We're seeing decisions made, the men encouraged. And so if you have an interest in that, please let me know, or Brother Mike Swafford. Or Brother Dan Bachman, who goes over there. You could even have a ministry going over there on Monday nights, especially you men here that have a desire for helping other men that might be struggling with addictions or whatever the case may be. There's a great opportunity there. The Potter's House. We also have the Oaks, assisted living. Tim Jemanski doing a great job leading that ministry along with Daniel and others that are helping. Some of you started off there. I'd encourage you to reconsider getting back in. These people need encouragement. I heard the Christmas special cantata went great there, and I'm thankful. That's fourth Saturday of every month from 2 to 3 p.m. And so you say, well, what do I have to do there? Well, basically, you could just show up and just look pretty if you really wanted to. You say that would be a help? Yes, it would. Yes, it would. How could that be a help? Because it encourages them to see people that care. And that is the mission of our church. We want to show people that we care. And that takes time, that takes effort, and we want to be proactive. So the Oaks, if you have interest in that, see Timothy Jemanski or Mike Swafford and that. The Good News Club. Again, we talked about that last week. We got about 90 kids enrolled this year. Going to go back to that. If you have an interest in that, we do. I believe there is a spring training. Can anybody confirm that there is a winter month? Okay, there is a spring training. So if you have an interest in that ministry, please see Daniel Jemanski or myself and or Carrie Stringer. We can help put you in the right direction to see if that might be something that the Lord wants you to do. And but it's an awesome opportunity to go over there. You say, what do I do? Really? There's many things. I'll just give you a little example. Sister Ansley Busey does. She's faithful every week. She's a faithful servant of the Lord. She comes in and she organizes those snacks. She gets them out on the table, those Capri Suns and some of those blessed honey buns from Sister Sherry. And those things are good, I want you to know. But she'll organize the snacks and the kids come by and she'll pump that antibacterial soap, give them a ticket, give them their snacks, say, get on out of here. Now, she doesn't say that. She always greets them with a pretty smile. But honestly, we got other girls that are helping out with the small groups, just with crowd control, Miss Kay and JJ and others helping with music, Megan and the Hayes girls are helping out, others, I probably forget somebody, but there's a lot of things that you can do. Sometimes with those little ones, it just helps to have someone in the bleachers to help with crowd control. When they want to act up, you can just be a presence there. And so we are thankful for what God is doing. Please consider this ministry. And I know the Lord would give you a special blessing for that. Legacy Youth Mentoring. This is something new that I wanted to introduce to our church tonight. this came about to me as a way of just being at a community meeting. What they're asking this group, it's a nonprofit organization that are reaching out to churches and actually companies, businesses, and asking for leaders in the community to come into the public school and be mentors to kids that are struggling. Kids that are struggling perhaps at home, perhaps they're struggling in the classroom too. They just need some positive reinforcement. They need some positive influence. And so by saying that, this is a great opportunity. I'm actually starting up next week. It's basically you commit 30 minutes a week. You go to the school and you sit with that student, whether it's in the lunchroom, the gymnasium, there's a family resource room, and you just hang out. You just try to be an encouragement. You try to talk to them. A lot of these young people don't have anybody that loves them like they should. They don't have much direction, and they need just someone to be a friend. That's what a mentor will do, will come and be a friend and just try to be a positive example. And I'm looking forward to that. And I'm hoping that some of you will show some interest in this ministry. Perhaps some of you in your secular workforce, that maybe your job recognizes volunteer work like that and would allow that time to be freed up to go into the school to be an encouragement to a young person. And the neat thing about this, I cannot necessarily proselytize. I cannot go in necessarily to evangelize. But this is the neat thing that the director shared with me. If they ask you a question concerning your personal beliefs or what you believe, she said you have total liberty. And she said if that young person says, hey, can I come to your church? And you can say, absolutely. You have liberty to actually spend time with them outside of the church, outside of the school too, if that individual wants that. And so again, it's being salt in the earth. It's being that salt, and it's being that light, that influence that we can be. So if you're interested in that, please see me. There's specific training. It takes about an hour. You get a background check. They give you an hour of training, and that's what you could do. You can pick any school in our community. Jefferson, Commerce, East Jackson, South Jackson, the middle schools, elementary, high school, whatever you feel God would put on your heart to just, again, there is just wide open. They're begging for leaders in the community to come. And maybe that would be something that God would put on your heart. And I believe the Lord would use it in a great way. So we do have the legacy opportunity. If you have more questions, again, please see me on that. Now, discipleship. This is the one-on-one discipleship with another believer. Now, this is something that is needed. I have know of a couple situations right now where it would be tremendously helpful for maybe some of you in here that have known the Lord for a while to spend one-on-one with a new believer or someone that's just in a time of struggle. And if you would be interested in that, please see me. Maybe you're here and you would say, Pastor, actually, I think I need to be the one that would like to spend one-on-one with somebody to be helped, to be encouraged, to learn more about my Bible or to work through some struggles I'm going through. If that be you, please see me. We will put you with someone that you are compatible with, woman with a woman, man with a man, and to just have a time of discipleship. It could just be 30 minutes a week. I mean, anything like that, and I think that's going to be needed in the years ahead, in the year ahead and the years as we start seeing people come to Christ. You say you know that for a fact? No, I don't know that for a fact, but that's what I'm looking forward. I'm looking towards that with vision that we're going to start seeing those things in our lives, in our church. And so please consider discipleship that we have available. You say, well, I don't have any resources. I'm glad you said that, because we have some resources for you. One of them, if you were in Sunday school, you did, is First Steps for New Christians. That is a great book to start. Someone who is just learning the Word of God for the first time. That's why I had you go through that book. It was not necessarily to teach you those things because you didn't know them, but it was to just help you understand that you get a personal copy, you fill it out, and you are ready to go with someone that you can disciple. And so I hope you've been praying about someone you can disciple. I hope you're praying about an opportunity to see God's miraculous power in that. Again, where's our vision? Do you have a vision for discipling anybody in 2019? let's say, Lord, yes. Lord, would you let me disciple someone? And pray for that. And I would not be surprised at all for God to give you that. Then there's our go teams. This is another change up, not a real big change up, but the Lord laid on my heart that to kind of shift things a little bit. We had our grow teams, but now we are changing it to our go teams. God says you can't grow until you go. Amen. So we're changing it to our go teams primarily because we wanted to do, instead of doing four teams, we wanted to do two teams. Because what we found is that for various reasons, sometimes we would have small groups on each of those Saturdays from those teams. And so what we thought, it was always encouraging when there was at least maybe even up to a dozen people that came in on that Saturday. Man, that was always encouraging. It's like, wow. Look at all the people that came out to go out door knocking or came to pray. And it just was really motivational, inspiring, if you will, to have more people there. So what we're doing is we're going to split it up into two groups, G team and O team. You'll see that on your calendar. Now, here's what I am suggesting. I am not suggesting that this be a sign up thing. This is a Great Commission thing. This is something that I'm hoping that you will consider coming on one of those Saturdays, if possible. It's two Saturdays a month. You could choose one. We'll have a leader each time that has maps ready to go, has areas prepared. And this is another way that you can be faithful. I think of Sister Beverly and Ms. Norma Hayes, and I'm not trying to puff anybody up here or brag anybody. I'm just trying to give you some examples so that you can understand. And I think of Jim and Eugenia McQueen and others, the Shaws, that perhaps not able to go out like they would like to, but have more of a burden, if you will, to stay and pray here at the church while the team goes out. They're both equally important. We need the power of God as we go out to our community. And so you say, I don't really feel like going out before people. Maybe God has not brought you to that place where do you feel comfortable doing that yet. But you know what? You can come and pray and make a difference. You see here, it's one Saturday. We do door hangers. It'll be follow-up visits. It won't always be cold turkey door knocking. It won't always be cold visitation like that. I know some people are terrified about visiting somebody for the first time, a total stranger. I understand that. But what we'll do, sometimes we'll have follow-up where we can say, listen, Sally visited our church last week. She's never been here before, first time. Would you mind going and visiting her and let her know how thankful we are that she came? Things like that will be available. No sign-up needed. Now, one thing we might appreciate, you might want to let me know, or Brother Mike Swafford, Brother Mark Reynolds, let one of us know if you have a specific desire to come on one of the Saturdays or not, on either one or the other, the G or the O team, and that might be helpful in our preparations. But don't feel like you have to sign up. You just show up. Does everybody understand that? Don't have to sign up. You can just show up. And so we will try to communicate the times each week. We're going to try to give a number of people that hit. Now, this is our focus to start off. Our focus will be, there's our little church right there on Jefferson River Road. And our goal will be, starting off, will be a 1 mile radius. That's just covering just our little Jerusalem right here. And there's probably several hundred, at least 100, I know, houses in that 1 mile radius. And what we want to do is we want to concentrate on that 1 mile radius. And we just don't want to do door hangers. We're actually going to go a step above this time. We're actually going to put together a gift basket. A brochure from our church, maybe a small gift, maybe a little coffee cup or some kind of a token of our love to them in our community saying, hey, we just wanted to come and extend an invitation to our church and a small gift from our church letting you know that we love you as our neighbor, as Jesus tells us to, and we're here for you if you ever need us. And we're praying that God would give that opportunity for us to lead people to the Lord, to encourage people that aren't attending a good, solid, Bible-believing church to come and visit. We're not taking people from churches that don't believe in that. That's wrong. That's not our focus. If they have a good church home, I praise the Lord for that. But we're going to focus on that. And so I encourage you to come on out. It's a great time. There's hardly anybody that's going to reject a gift basket like that. And so I'm really anticipating God to do miraculous things through that 1 mile outreach. I don't know if you realize this or not, but we got people in a 1 mile radius of this church that probably have never been reached by someone in this church. Most likely. And I just say, let's change that. Let's go reach them for Jesus. So that is some of the outreaches that we see, and that we're going to look forward to. If you have any questions about those, you let me know. There's wonderful opportunities, and I praise God for it. So moving along quickly here, some other things we're going to do. Not only do outreach, but we do updates. We have facility updates each year. The past couple years, they've gone very well. Those of you that know the foyer, that was our first project. Okay, we had that changed, and that was a blessing, and we've gotten a lot of feedback on that, and it's been very positive for us. Also, we were able to do the downstairs, the children's wing, and the restrooms. I've heard a lot of good feedback on that. The coffee team came back, and that's one of the first things one of the team members said. Well, you guys renovated your bathrooms. I was like, yes, we did. Thank you very much. All right. So I'm grateful for the work that's being accomplished, the updates to our facilities. I think that's a good testimony to the Lord. Again, we don't depend on those things. We depend on God's Spirit, but He does want us to update. I believe that. And so this year, we're going to focus on the fellowship hall and the kitchen. That may include some carpet. We do have new tables and chairs that we're working towards. We're still building that up. The kitchen needs some attention. Well, we're going to look to give some attention to that, and just trust the Lord. Also, the sound in the fellowship hall has been an issue. We're looking at different channels or avenues to improve that. Unfortunately, I don't think there's anything that's going to be done that will have a drastic change on the sound. If we were to go for a drastic change, it would be just unbelievably expensive. But because of how expensive those sound tiles can be. But we are looking at different options for our fellowship hall. The restrooms, especially the ladies. Now, I've never been in there. Let me go ahead and preface by saying that. I've never been in there. But they do say that it needs some attention, okay? And I just trust that that could do some updating done in there. And so the two bathrooms here on the fellowship hall level, we would like to update those like we did downstairs. And so that's a couple update. The windows and the foyer. If you take a look right back in the foyer, you see how those windows have an orange-like tint? That is not on purpose, okay? That has evolved into that color over the centuries. I mean, the decades that it has been. This church was built in the 70s, but I feel like those could be updated. And this is my fault behind it. We could update the foyer to make it sort of, go better with the modern look that our foyer does have, the more modern look, I should say. And it would also do this. Instead of going through and doing all the windows right off, it would give us an opportunity to see what they look like in the foyer. So changing those two and then that one over here to different windows that are more energy efficient is the ultimate goal, and to give us a better cosmetic look on those, that's an option. So I'm not quoting prices to you, not just talking. These are some things that we will possibly bring up in the days ahead as far as the windows are concerned. Office space, we're going to be doing some updating downstairs in our office space, the Mike's office, my office, the Sunday school room, that area, the conference room, and those two bathrooms. We'd like to maybe do some updating there. And then last but not least, our church signs, the one directly out front and the one at the four-way stop. We want to update those. And it won't be anything, I don't think, too drastic, but we will seek to do our new logo and to brighten it up a bit And I'm not sure what all will be involved in that, but we're looking forward to that. That's one opportunity, one option that we would have. We wouldn't need to tear anything down. We would just put those rocks around the bricks that are already there. That sign right there would be something like that. And I think that'd be real pretty. And so we're looking at something of that nature. Also at the four-way stop, we would do something similar, but nicer looking, with not similar to this, but to what is there. Except it would be nicer wood, maybe even metal of some sort, and a new design with something from our church there, because a lot of people see that every day. And eventually, I'd like to get a sign down by the Jefferson River Road and 129, and also at New Kings Bridge and 129. Just again, we want people to know that we are alive and well, and we would love for them to come if they don't have a church, especially if they don't know the Lord. We would love to have them come. So those are some updates that we're looking at doing with the Lord's help and by His guidance. We will seek to do those things. And so thank you for your attention tonight. We always usually go about an hour and a half for our vision night. We kept to that tradition. And we will seek to try to continue to do that. Now, before we start packing up and before we head out, I want to do this. I'd like to are we up for our theme song, Brother Mike? Is that what's next? All right, so what we'll do is we'll have our theme song one more time, and then we will distribute the bags, and then we will have a closing word of prayer. So, church, thank you for your attention tonight. Thank you for coming, and just I hope you've caught the vision for this year. I hope you're stirred and encouraged and sharpened, and I hope you're expecting great things this year for God to do. I hope that we will just be yielded to the Lord God Almighty, and that He might get all the glory.